He's in our midst, and there's something he wants to say tonight, something he wants to minister to us. So as we come prepared, as we come with open hearts and all, he ministers, and we thank God for that. Well, to help us get into our time and study, we're first of all going to make sure we all have our Bibles, so the ushers are going to come down the aisle just quickly to make sure you have a Bible if you need one. Just raise your hand, and they'll pass one over to you. And then for all of us, of course, let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. As we're getting settled in and getting turned to our spots, just a reminder, a week from tonight will be the first Wednesday night of the month, and so therefore it'll be communion night. I strongly encourage you to block that out and come out. I say it all the time, but I don't know of any more important reason than to gather with our brothers and sisters to remember what the Lord did for us, the price he paid, and what's changed everything for us. And so there'll be communion a week from tonight, communion, afterglow time, time of prayer. Don't take it for granted, but come out and be a part of it. That's a week from tonight. And then, of course, 2 weeks from tonight, the men's and women's study are off and running. I don't know, was that like a quick summer? Maybe for some, like, no, when, you know. You know, you could wait for the kids to be back in school or something. But overall, it seems like sometimes summers zip along. And anyway, so 2 weeks from tonight, men's and women's study. And make sure you're plugged into those. Promise to be an awesome time once again. So that's the plan. That's the plan. Let's pray. Father, forgive us, Lord, if at times we just tack prayer on like some kind of a formality. Forgive us, Lord, for somehow maybe thinking prayer is just kind of the bookend, something you're supposed to do at the beginning and the end. Instead, Lord, would you help us? Because, Lord, we recognize as we bow, we come to you, the living God. And when we come to you, it's such a privilege. We find in you our refuge, our strength, our very needs are met. We thank you. Tonight, as we've come down to the end of this series, Lord, bring all together in our hearts. Help us to really glean from this time we should have, as well as from all the summer studies, and have your way, Lord. We just want to be well equipped in you. You've provided. Help us now to make sure we have it on and use tonight towards that. But Lord, again, I'm just drawn back to this whole privilege right now of truly just we can bow our hearts and you, the God of this universe, hear us. You hear us. What an amazing thing. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe when you pray that God, the Almighty God, the true and living God who created everything, who's so big that we couldn't begin to really even take him in, that he hears you? Now, don't answer this out loud, but does your prayer life show you believe that? I wonder sometimes. Prayer is a struggle. Sometimes more than others, but prayer can be a struggle. So many things seem to get in the way of it. Sometimes it seems to really flow. Other times it's just all kinds of things can go on with prayer. But I wonder sometimes if prayer, our prayer life doesn't really show kind of if we do or don't really believe that we have access to God and that we're calling upon him and have access to all of his resources and all. Well, you remember we are indeed wrapping up our summer series. We've been going through the armor of God. We've been going through Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And in that section, of course, the Lord has set before us how we can be victorious in the spiritual battles we face. And so if you ever happen to find yourself in a struggle, I know most of us never do, but if you ever find yourself in a struggle, you might go ahead and consider this. Don't let me do that. Don't let me get away with a statement like that. If you should ever happen to, you will. Matter of fact, you are in a battle. It's not if we're going to wrestle against. We do wrestle against these things. We all face spiritual battles. Therefore, it's not well we should think about, but we are to have it on, this armor on. And thank God that he provides it. God provides us with armor. Think about that. Spiritual armor, that we might stand. And having done all, he says, to stand. And so I pray that the times we've been together this summer, just help us all be reminded of, or for some maybe it's been a new thing, but help us all be equipped to be victorious in the battles we face. Now, Paul, of course, is wrapping up this whole section just as we're wrapping up our summer series. And we saw last week, we kind of got into this last part, where he points to a key part of how we put the armor on. It's how it's such a vital part of this whole being equipped and being victorious part of it. How the armor is employed, how it's used. Jump into verse 18. For he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So last week we looked at this all-important part of this whole being victorious and standing strong and standing in the armor and all. We saw the role of prayer after going through the six pieces of armor. Then as he gets down and begins to wrap that up, he brings up this all-important part that kind of just is what activates it, so to speak, and that is the role of prayer. So we looked at that last week, but I mentioned last week, and if you weren't here, I just can bring up again the fact that I specifically left off the last part of that for tonight, and that is the very end of verse 18. Remember verse 18 again says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now we come to a very interesting part in Paul's instructions here. Remember, God wants us to have victory. That's why he's having Paul record this. And Paul says now, after giving us all these specific pieces of armor, he says now, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So last week we talked about the role of prayer, the importance of prayer, what we have access to through prayer, how our victory is won through it, so much that has to do with prayer. But then he puts this at the very end, that there's this thing that we do call intercessory prayer. He says here, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So this refers to what we call intercessory prayer. And that is a big word that means praying for others. What does praying for others have to do with our armor? What does praying for others, interceding, pleading on behalf of others, have to do with us standing strong? That's what we're going to consider for a little bit tonight. Now remember the analogy here. Remember the example that Paul is using. Remember, Paul is using a Roman soldier's uniform. He's been going through it. He was chained up with these Roman guards. He's in prison at this point, and talks about it being in chains. And he has a Roman guard right there, and he probably got to look at that Roman guard and said, you know, there's spiritual equivalents to that. And God used Paul to author this analogy, if you will, and he started talking about the sword and all these different parts of it, that we need this. So the big picture here, though, is of a Roman soldier and his uniform. Now think about it. Generally speaking, now I know there are times when they send out snipers or something, so don't catch me later, and I realize that. But in general, in battle, does a soldier go to war by himself? You see, one lone Marine, what are you up to? I decided to declare war on a certain country. I'm going to go fight them on my own. Here I go. Not usually happen that way, does it? A soldier doesn't go out to fight by himself. Now, again, there might be particular incidents, but in general, he's part of a whole army. When a country goes to war, it sends its army out, is the idea. So when the soldier fights, it's not a private war that he's come up with, but rather he's a part of a big war, a big battle, if you will. And he's part of an army, a great army, involved in a great battle. And so the individual soldier He's part of an army. And if he's going to be successful, he'll need the other parts of the army so that together they can accomplish their mission. Together they can be victorious. Well, that has applications in the spiritual realm. See, one of the great tools of the enemy is to try to make us think that we are in the battle all alone. That you're all by yourself. No one cares. No one there with you. It all comes down to you and only you. And too often we can be drawn to think that no one else has ever gone through what we're going through. No one else has it as bad as us. No one else has this pressure, this stress, this decision, whatever it might be that's going on. We get to that place we think where no one could possibly understand what we're facing. In essence, we've come to believe a lie that we're in the battle by ourselves. And therefore, we don't call upon the resources we have around us. Don't ever fall for that kind of thinking. Because if you do, you're going to be in danger of being defeated, that you're all by yourself. 1 Corinthians 10:13, beginning of it, says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." So it's just, again, the Lord reminding us that there's a commonality in all of this. We all are in the battle. What comfort and strength there can be when we remember that we're not in it alone. That we are soldiers in this battle, but we have fellow soldiers. And if we're operating the way we're supposed to be, we'll be marching together. We'll be advancing together. We'll be doing battle together. And it's a good reminder to know that what we are facing, others are facing. And so we can draw encouragement and strength from each other in that. And our victory and their victory, we encourage each other when we see victories amongst us. What I'm saying is the first point is intercessory prayer reminds us that we are not alone. Intercessory prayer is praying for others, our brothers and sisters, interceding for them, pleading their case, lifting them up to the Lord. And the first thing we see why that's been brought up here is it reminds us that we're not alone. Because when, you know, get us alone and we can experience defeat, keep us together, there's a strength in that. Now, secondly, intercessory prayer, praying for others, not only reminds us that we're part of the big picture, we're part of a whole army here, and that we all have our part in that, but intercessory prayer also gets us beyond our circumstances. Of course, we're told to come and cast all our cares on the Lord. And He cares individually and personally for all of us. So don't mishear what I'm about to say. But unfortunately, we go beyond just lifting up our prayers and all. And sometimes we get to a place where really we can be so self-focused about ourselves that we just kind of start caving in. We implode. We just get so on us. And intercessory prayer gets my eyes off of me. And time and again, I've had people say, you know, it wasn't until it got my eyes off of me that it gave God the freedom to heal me. That I got my eyes on to somebody else, after praying for others or ministering to others or serving others, that it got me out of the way and God actually ministered to my own life, my own heart, my needs. But intercessory prayer lifts us up to the view of the whole body. It helps us get the big picture. It helps us get God's take on things. So intercessory prayer reminds us we're not alone, but we're part of an army. We're in this battle together. Intercessory prayer gets our eyes off just our circumstances and onto the big picture and onto others. And following that, by praying for others in the body,
It also reminds us that our trial is indeed part of a great battle. Our part is important, yes. But intercessory prayer helps us keep the context. A lot of times we're having these struggles, these battles, because we are a target, because of who we belong to. And there's a great spiritual battle going on. And so we, as in that army of the Lord, experience parts of that battle. But it's because of that big battle. So it helps us remember that. There is a fight because there is a great battle going on, which leads to another aspect in all this. We are members of one another in the body of Christ. We need to really think about and nurture the connection between one another, the family aspect, because that's how God has made us. And all of us are crucial to one another in this. So now think of a battle, of a literal battle, whether it's a Civil War type battle or a more modern day battle, whatever it might be. Picture all the troops out there fighting in this particular battle. Maybe it's better to think of maybe the little bit older days, like a Civil War battle or Revolutionary days or something, where they tended to line up in long rows or something. But anyway, consider the line of battle. Consider the line of all the soldiers out there, the line of battle. How crucial is it that each part of the line hold its position? Well, if you studied long, you recognize that it, of course, is always crucial. If there's a breakthrough at some point, the enemy can exploit that breakthrough and then cut off the separate parts of the army. Could maybe cause a little pincer movement and catch a bunch of people, trap them, whatever it might be. If one flank or the other is overcome, the enemy can just turn and just roll the flank, roll that battle line right up, come up the side and mow them down. It's important that all the battle line hold its position. Again, if the enemy can break through at one point, that will affect the whole position. So we are to pray for one another so that it brings God's resources to bear on every part of the battle line. To pray for the Grisays in Australia or the Somervilles or just different ones we know of, different ones you know of. They're all part of the spiritual battle line. And we need to pray for one another because breakthroughs at one point affect all of us. All the body's affected by it. And when one part gets victory, it forwards the cause of the whole battle. So we pray for other members because it brings God's resources to bear on their behalf. And that's good for them and good for all of us. We pray for others because it keeps the proper perspective of our own problems. And in turn, it will be used by God to help us all stand victorious together. We need intercessory prayer. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be the prayers and then the receivers if we're going to do this the way God would have. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Go to your left a little bit and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Go down to verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. So he's in a rough place. He's saying it was rough. Now when Paul says something rough, it must have been rough. So we said we were having a rough place. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Obviously, I'm just rereading that to show how he was in a rough place. But of course, the Lord worked, delivered, and he's talking about that. But he points out in verse 11, you also helping together in prayer for us. Think about that statement. Helping in prayer together for us. Every single one of us is in ministry. Every single one of us have a key part in praying for the leaders that God has placed over us, for various ministries that we're a part of, whatever it might be. Paul's saying, your prayer for us was crucial. You also helping together in prayer for us. He acknowledges the place of prayer that they had been praying for him. Helping together in prayer for us. So never take for granted. Indeed, always really recognize that that's such a key calling and privilege to pray for others. Pray for those in ministry, pray for teachers, pray for all. And Paul is just recognizing that it made the difference. So what's the call? Realize that we all need prayer and we're all called to pray for one another. That we are fellow soldiers together and we need to pray for one another in the battle and pray for all the various parts of the battle line, so to speak. Now, don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Don't be too proud to seek prayer from people. To let people know, hey, could you be praying for this? Or what it might be. So don't be too afraid or proud to pray. But also, don't stop there, but recognize we're called to pray for others too. I know this. When we get to pray for somebody, when we get a prayer request or something, one thing I always like, I'm really always blessed by the fact that that means we get to be part of the victory. We're going to get to hear about the victory. We're going to get to hear about what God did, and we'll get to have been a part of that. And so we don't want to miss out on those opportunities. Now, in terms of intercessory prayer, sometimes needs are made known to us, and right there, that's how you pray. But sometimes we can just ask God to show us, Lord, who would you have me pray for? And how would you have me pray for them? What would you have me to pray for? If a person comes across your mind and you have an urge to pray, I really lovingly encourage you, do it. We probably all had occasions where maybe in the middle of the night you wake up, can't go to sleep, you say, okay, Lord, what's that about? And then something comes to your mind. Okay, pray for him or her. And then later you hear about that it was at that moment God was doing something. Or maybe during the day, all of a sudden you feel a strong urge. Just, man, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for so-and-so. Respond to that. God has set it up that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And He just did. He just did this. He set up so that as part of the body, we are to pray for one another, and that it makes a difference. I don't know how many times in my life I can tell. I'll tell Kathy, somebody prayed for me on this, or somebody's praying about this. Sometimes you just sense it. Wow, somebody's praying about this. Only eternity will declare what was accomplished through intercessory prayer. We may never know the results in this lifetime. But that's okay. Just pray and trust it to God. And remember in all this, too, it says that it's something to be... You can go back to the Ephesians passage, by the way. You're to persevere at it. That means keep at it. Don't just pray once to give up. Keep at it until the Lord says stop or whatever. And so to persevere at it and to do it. Now, intercessory prayer is something that all believers are supposed to do. Sometimes we get the idea that, well, intercessory prayer, that's for the prayer warriors. That's for the people who really, they're the prayer warriors. They have time and they take time, they make time, and they really intercede for people. Thank God there are people who have that calling and that, and they do that. Awesome, awesome. But that's not what this is talking about. This is all the saints praying for all the saints. We're all to intercede. It's something we're all to do, praying for others. I would encourage you, if you're not on our prayer list here, consider getting on it. You can contact Darla in the office, and they have a way now. They're setting all this stuff up through email and all, and it's just better and better. You know how that works, probably. But get on the prayer list if you're not yet as part of those who would pray for the needs that come through. The more, the better, of course. And it builds our faith life. So consider getting on the prayer list if you're not there. Do you believe that to pray for someone is the very best thing you can do for them? Now, sometimes the Lord will nudge you personally to do something more. To help them in some physical way, provide for a need if you can, or I don't know what it is, you know, go meet a need or whatever it might be. But first and foremost, the best thing you can ever do for somebody is pray for them. And so we need to see it as such. But then notice now, lastly, in verse 19, Paul says what? And for me. Pray for all the saints and pray for me. Paul, you're like super saint. You're like the one God's using to write like half our New Testament. Yep. And I need your prayer. That's what he's saying. And pray for me, he says. Now notice that. And for me, he says, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is in chains here. That means he's imprisoned. What does he ask prayer for? Pray that they'll release me. Pray that I'll get out of this place. I want out of here. No. We know he had a thorn in the flesh. Does he say, Lord, pray that I'll just be healed, okay? Pray. No, God, settle that. Don't you ask me for that one anymore, he said. Remember? He doesn't pray for to be released. What does he ask prayer for? That I might be able to speak boldly. And by boldly, he means to be really obnoxious and pushy and offend everybody. No, I do that every so often to keep us halfway awake. No, that's not what boldly means, but some people think that. Some people think boldly means loud, obnoxious, pushy. That's not what boldly means. Boldly means he's saying he wants to be able to speak freely. Pray that I can speak with clarity. Pray that I can speak with courage. That I won't be intimidated by Caesar and all this other stuff going on. Pray that nothing will be kept back. That I'll be able to share the whole gospel. That I'll speak the truth in love. That I can speak freely is the idea here. That Paul sought to make utterance, to open his mouth boldly, and that he may speak boldly, refers, again, to both speaking clearly and courageously. And notice he says what? That it may be given to me to be able to do this. Paul recognized that if his words were going to have success, if he was going to speak with clarity or anything, it was going to be a gift from God. There are some indications that Paul was not a very good public speaker. In Scripture, it speaks how some took him to fault that his speech was contemptible and things, and that he wasn't that gifted of a speaker and all. He knew, if I'm going to be able to do this clearly and straightforward, it's got to be given by God. And that means you praying for me, he said. Pray that I will be able to speak that way. I need your help to convey this clearly, he's saying. I need God's help. It's going to be given to me from God, but your part is pleading with God for it. So Paul sees that the prayers of others are part of how this whole thing works. Prayer is the needed yet unseen part of speaking for God. True for all of us. If you experience a pastor or a speaker somewhere, be kind about tonight, if you would. But in general, if you sit and find fault in the speaker, find fault in him because he lacks clarity, They may lovingly ask, did you pray for him before you got there? We find fault quickly, but how often do we pray for them before, during, and after? Charles Spurgeon said, quote, let me have your prayers and I can do anything. Let me be without my people's prayers and I can do nothing. End quote. And it said that when people would tour Spurgeon's church, became very, very large, of course, that when he would take them on a tour, he'd ask them, you want to see the power plant? Oh, yeah, big church. I want to see how they do all that. He'd take them down to the prayer room. Now, you've heard that story, probably many of you. That's the idea. He said, that's where the power starts. And people would even be praying while he was preaching. And he knew. He goes, without the prayers, I can do. Without it, nothing. Nothing. And then it says here, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Commentators point to this use of the word ambassador that Paul uses here. And it is interesting, isn't it? Paul, you're a prisoner. No, I'm an ambassador. Paul, you're locked up in chains. You're a prisoner. No, I'm an ambassador in chains. But I'm a representative of who I belong to. I'm a representative of the kingdom I belong to. The world's ambassadors have a lot of pomp and circumstance because of who they represent, the country that's behind them. And they come in with their letters of recommendation, or if it's a big fancy event, they might come in with their... Commentators point out that in these days, it would be very common for someone representing another country to show up with chains of gold and various ornaments to show their power and affluence and who they belong to and all. Paul's chain was a real one, an actual chain. Here's my ambassador's emblems, because I'm sent from a Savior who died and rose again, but he suffered for us. I'm an ambassador who wears chains. But notice again, he doesn't desire to be set free from those chains. He desires that his mouth would be set free to proclaim the gospel clearly. This isn't a limitation, but I need this prayed for, he says, that I can proclaim it clearly. So this he asked them, and us, pray for me, he says. And when people pray, the enemy has no power against that. The enemy is helpless when it comes to that. It's a significant part of our armor. If Paul says, pray for me, how much more do we need it? I mean, if Paul needed prayer, it shows we certainly need it. Again, don't be too proud to seek prayer for yourself, and don't be so self-focused that you don't remember to pray for others. And then what's he say at the very end? As I ought to speak. What he means there is, as I was called to do. I'm an ambassador. I've been commissioned. I've been called to do this. I ought to do it, meaning I've been called to do it. So pray that I'll be true to my calling. Anybody here know anybody else under a commission? It's called the Great Commission. Go and tell them. We're all under commission. Lord, help me speak as I've been called to do. I've been commissioned. Help me speak as I ought to speak. As I ought to speak in love. Again, not obnoxious, not turning people off, not in anger, but rather Spirit-led. Not afraid of anything, except God. Not afraid, but I mean, have a reverence, a fear of God, but I was not influenced by people. But sensitive to what the Spirit is doing. Pray is the calling. Pray, he says, pray that I can share like that. Find a minimum of four of you. You knew I was going there. If not, now you know. No less than four, no more than about six. Circle up, and pray for somebody or something else. And I'll get us back together in about 10 minutes. Let's practice what we preach. Find somebody and intercede for whoever God puts on your hearts. Don't dominate the prayer time. Take turns, but don't feel you have to pray at all. But as you feel led, take a few minutes here, and now let's practice what we've just said. Go for it.